Hey, Attic Wives and Lit Witches, and welcome to Fuckboys of Literature. I'm Emily Edwards. Since I found a lot of y'all are still subscribed to our free platforms, I wanted to give you a little taste of our Twilight episode. In this excerpt, Stratz and I discuss the inherent grossness of vampire stories with an adult and a youth, comparing Twilight to both Buffy and Pride and Prejudice, and how we feel about flawed female teens. If you end up loving this, I ask you to please consider becoming a patron over at patreon.com/fuckboysoflit. Just $1 a month gets you this whole hour-long episode, back episodes going to May, and all new episodes going forward. I don't think she put it, when she was writing it, in the perspective that all the haters do of it being an adult leching on a kid. Like, I see how people can read it that way, but she didn't write it that way.
No, and you run into that problem with any vampire story. Like, and I think that it had to do with just the backlash that's already there, because you don't hear this complaint about, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, mm-hmm. where the same thing is happening, where she's 16, 17 years old, and her boyfriend didn't even die as a teenager. He died in his 20s. So
yeah, that's true. Like, he's too old for her, like, as he regularly is. David Boreanaz was like 26. Like, mm-hmm. he looks so much older than her.
He does.
Oh, it's creepy. Oh, it's so
but
creepy.
I think a lot of it had to do with Buffy. Buffy was aimed at women, but it was aimed at, like, everyone. Mm-hmm. Buffy was kind of made for everyone to like. Whereas Twilight, it already had that bit of awkwardness to it, because I'm not going to pretend these books don't have some problems. But also, it was a hit among 13 to 16-year-old girls, and the world just really hates 13 to 16-year-old girls.
I fully agree. And, like, a lot of also, comparing it to Buffy, too, is that, like, Buffy was also, it was aimed at everybody, but it was also specifically aimed at, like, the alt cool kids. Like, you were supposed to be, like, Hot Topic fan, like, black eyeliner. Like, I was totally in the proper demographic for loving Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I was, like, ripped fishnets, black eyeliner, like, studded belts. I was, you know, that was, like, the cool thing. And if you were like that, if that was your signature style, then you were probably gonna like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But, like, that is not in Twilight at all. It is not aimed at kids who are subversive, really, in any way.
Twilight was made to be so that any teenage girl could pick it up and see herself in Bella. And that gets a lot of flack, but I think, honestly, that's a good thing. We need that sometimes, to be able to just pick up a book and see ourselves.
Yeah, I feel like there's a really interesting thing that happens with female protagonists in literature. And it's one of the reasons why, like, I can never really articulate why I don't love Elizabeth Bennet when it comes to Pride and Prejudice. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, because there is such a lack of female representation and strong female representation in literature, we like to always think that we're kind of connected to the female characters that have no flaws. Like, they're always smart alecky. They always know what's right. They always know the best thing to do. And Bella's a dunce most of the time. Yeah. Like, she's really not very bright. She's not street smart. She's not emotionally intelligent. And I think that there's not a lot of give for maybe those of us who don't always see ourselves in the person who's the hero and mm-hmm. is, like, kind of bumbling and doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, Bella is kind of her own little disaster. She's disastrously clumsy. She's, like you said, she's not street smart. She doesn't look out for her own safety. She's more like somebody you would know, somebody you would be.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I wasn't popular ever. I was not cool. I never would have gotten I never got attention from boys until I went to college. So, like, I could imagine being Bella, who comes from this, you know, this place where she's kind of had a forgotten childhood. Like, her mom was always running off with boyfriends and stuff like that. And, like, you don't know how to act when the cute guy suddenly decides he wants you. Like, that's a really uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, and she never quite does believe it. She's always kind of hesitant at the idea that Edward might like her as much as she likes him.
Yeah, and like that's a pretty much a running theme throughout the entire series.
Yes, and it's very relatable.
I mean, it still sometimes happens to those of us who are in long-term relationships and married. Like, if we never got attention from the opposite or like our desired romantic partners, like throughout our lives, like still sometimes you kind of go, like, why did you even freaking marry me? Like, what appeal do I have? And it is kind of just like something that happens from growing up in a less than desirable situation.
Yeah, I am married, so I understand exactly what you're saying with that.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. I feel like a lot of the people who give these books a hard time just have never been underconfident.
Yeah. I can see that because a lot of the complaints I see are about Bella as a character and her not being, she's kind of like a bump on a log to some people. That's not how I see her, but that's a lot of people see her that way. And I see that perspective, but that's not how I perceive her.
Yeah, like I didn't have a problem with her when I first read the books when I was like in my early 20s and I was in a really, really bad relationship. So I would like definitely understood that sort of like mousy desire to like hide yourself away and to not have people look at you. And then like as I grew older, I started having a harder time with her. But like now that I'm talking about it again with a little bit more perspective, having read so many books for this show specifically, like I feel more compassion towards her as like a modern person than I did like, in my late 20s, early 30s, like super jaded years. Like Bella had a hard life. It sucks.
Yeah, and she doesn't really know how to relate to anyone around her, and then in walks this guy, and for some reason he wants to relate to her, and she doesn't know what to do with that because she's distant from her mom, who she's been kind of parenting. She's doesn't ever really mention having any friends back in Phoenix. She's distant from all her new friends, and she's really distant from her dad. So here comes someone who wants to connect with her and relate to her, not just because she's the shiny new toy.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. Like, the hardest relationship in the series for me is actually Jacob and Bella, because I don't quite understand how close they were versus how not close they were when it comes to her moving to Forks. I never quite understood why Jacob feels ownership over Bella or like the need to protect her in a way that's not like directly linked to like vampire werewolf conflict.
Yeah, I think he spends most of New Moon thinking if he's just patient enough, Bella's going to fall for him. And then it feels, and she encourages that at several points. And just when they are about to have that connection, the rug gets pulled out from under him.
He's definitely like the most believable teenager in the book because, like, he never fully acts on or articulates his feelings.
He tries not to put too much of himself out there, and I do wonder how much of that is shyness and how much of that is teenage boy and how much of that is not wanting to pressure Bella, because for all of New Moon, his whole life revolves around Bella. He doesn't listen to music anymore because Bella doesn't like music. He does whatever Bella asks of him. So I think he's afraid to put himself too out there, but he does eventually, when she calls him out on it, make clear that he's waiting.
I think also something that's really underserved in people looking through at Twilight, like through a critique lens, is the fact that Jacob is native and he's on the res. And I feel like that something is, a lot of people view his being native and being a werewolf slash like animalistic as racism, which, like, totally you can read it that way. And I think if that critique is coming from the mouths of Native people, then I really want to hear it. Mm-hmm. But I think that also white readers are too quick to kind of say, like, well, he's not really on the outs because Bella talks to him, or he's not really an outsider because, like, Charlie is friends with his dad. But I'm just kind of like, no, there's a significant line in between the white people who live in Forks and the kids who live on the res.
Yeah, and I don't want to get too deep into it because I know that the Quileute tribe was not happy with how they were portrayed
right
in those books. But I do see where you're coming from, because I feel like he says flat out, he goes to school on the reservation, he lives on the reservation, he doesn't really leave the reservation.
Yeah.
And so he is an outsider. Which is, I think, good for Bella, because he's completely disconnected from everything she's trying to run away from.
Yeah, I did know that about the Quileute tribe, is that they were just kind of like, cool, you stole, like, a lot of our, you know, imagery and you know, like, folklore and stuff like that.
And then got it wrong.
So, like, that's a huge, huge issue. But I think what she was – and I don't want to apologize for that. Like, don't fuck up when you do that. Like, have someone who is going to make sure you get it right. She used it as too quick of a shortcut, I think, to make warring clans between, like, the uber white vampires and the not white.
Yeah,
people.
There's definitely something of, like, really old fashioned us versus them in it. It's not my favorite part of the series. I do think she used it as just a quick shorthand. It was because you can, in your mind, she others the Native Americans. They're just completely different from all the other characters, and they're almost, I don't know how to put it. She almost treats them like they're not just average people, which is what Native Americans are.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, she goes out of her way to talk about them being, like, angry and affronting and violent sometimes, and that's not my experience with anybody who is in a marginalized community of people.
Yeah, she's definitely, she plays to the stereotypes, and she plays to them way too much, which any playing to the stereotypes is too much, but she's basically, it's like she's pulled her idea of Native Americans from an old film and not from reality.
I fully agree. Like, these are books that are so much of a time and place of just these, like, early kind of, like, 2010s kind of books, where it's like, you know, writers knew that they had to make books more diverse and pull from different legends other than just, like, a white girl sad, but, like, it's not done with finesse in a way that is, like, really jarring to those of us now.
Yes, and the way the books handle race in general, it's very not good. Like, she has gone on the record, because I've read even the Twilight Encyclopedia, because I really love these books. She has even gone on the record as saying that when vampires are transformed, they all become white. So, like, yeah. Like, the most that might happen is if you were darker skinned in life, you will have an olive skin tone as a vampire. So, like, the way these books handle race is really, really terrible. And I do think that's some of the legitimate criticism, I think that when Twilight was getting all of its backlash, you weren't hearing those legitimate criticisms of the book. That's only come later, now that we've all settled down and we can all look at the book and say, oh, hey, let's talk about some of the actual problems with it and not just the things we didn't like and wanted to complain about.
Yeah, and you know what? I do definitely think that a lot of the backlash against the books and subsequently the movies was because of who they cast in the movies. And I think that there is still a deeply unrealistic and unnatural pushback against Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson, and I don't understand it.